Welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing amazing. And Neil, you know, one of my favorite shows, Orville, we've got Bortus. I can't believe it.
Peter Macon, thanks for stopping by. We're going to talk about Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I appreciate it, Peter, for you stopping by. And it's got to be great, right? You know, like to be part of this experience, right? It's got to make you excited. Yeah. It's coming soon.
It's a big achievement over a long, long, long career, and it's just great to be part of film history. So you know, but if my head was, couldn't get any bigger. It really is an honor be a part of this.
All right.
Oh, that's great. You're a humble guy. I know that for sure. So, but we do appreciate you saying that for the show. That was fun. So where does Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes fit in on this second generation of Planet of the Apes from Charlton Heston's original?
Well, this is, I think, the 10th installment of all of the franchise, you know, and it fits in a lot of complex ways, not only story wise but just technology, our, you know, in the zeitgeist of our consciousness as human beings and what we've learned since 1978 about ourselves, what we've learned about apes, you know, since 1978. And you know, when I watched this movie, it's the first one when I was about six. I was thoroughly convinced that apes could now speak, or that I just didn't know. So I would go to the zoo, beg my mother to take me to the zoo, and I'd sit at the, you know, the gorilla cages and the orangutan, you know, like and just wait for them to talk to me. And she's like, "It's time to go," and I'm like, "I know he's gonna talk. So anyway, this film, you know, takes place about 300 years after War for the Planet of the Apes, which is the last film in the last installment of the franchise. And you know, it really is a whole different world. I mean, human beings have, you know, fallen off the top of the food chain because of the virus, and you know, apes have spread, and it is like the Bronze Age of ape technology, and it's like the Bronze Age of ape consciousness. So you know, here we are delving into the psyche of not just how apes and human beings, less so how apes and human beings coexist, but more about how apes coexist, and are like spread all over the land, you know. So it really is a different, you know, different dive, if you will, you know, into, you know, different clans and, you know, the expanding of consciousness, going from our hero, you know, Noah, his journey, expanding from like a myopic worldview to painfully understanding that the world is not what he thinks it is, and having to then, you know, meet with a human being and figure out how we are going to move forward. So it asks a lot of big, big questions, but it also, you know, if you need to go and, you know, have a nice escape onto an IMAX size, you know, because you really want to see this movie on a large screen because of the performance capture, and you know, it's really nuanced, and the world build is so beautiful that you really want to, you know, not do yourself that disservice and miss all these wonderful details that have gone into making this movie. So yeah, I mean, that's about where we are, and it's fascinating, right? You know, especially if you watched all of the films, and you know, the original film takes place in like 3978 or something like that. So I think that, you know, we're slowly making our way back toward the original timeline of the film, right?
Okay. You know, and you say, and it's great that you're tackling issues that need to be tackled, Peter. I think that's important.
Sure.
When you're in this conversation, because we're not the only people on this earth. Human beings are not the only people on this earth. And we never know. There could be extraterrestrials, and we don't know that either. But meaning we have to kind of understand and think about our what we're doing to our planet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, let me tell you, if polar bears had thumbs, we'd be having a different conversation. Because I don't know, you know, how I mean, that is one of our, I mean, it is sort of our, you know, as human beings, we have our ego, right? We have our super ego, the id, and the hubris, you know, and like in this age of disinformation, or this, like we're inundated with so much stimuli and information, and we don't, you know, a lot of it's questionable. So, you know, we're kind of, you know, boiling frogs, you know, that notion that if you take two pots of water and you boil one slowly, you know, a frog will, you know, sit there and drown. And if you throw the frog into the boiling pot of water, it'll jump out. They were kind of like at the mercy of our own brains and our own egos. So, you know, and human beings, it is said that are the only species on the planet that can't really, you know, coexist with its environment in a sustainable fashion. So we have a lot to learn. And this film, I believe, shows us what happens to that what happens to human beings for not really figuring it out. I mean, I know that there is this virus, you know, that human beings created, you know, to stimulate, you know, like to combat, you know, Alzheimer's, which is, you know, arguably understandable, but it gets out and it has like an effect on human beings where it actually reverses, you know, consciousness and expands, you know, consciousness of the primates that the drug is being tested on. So, you know, again, here we are in this conundrum of our, you know, kind of making our own demise in the effort of trying to better ourselves. So, I mean, it's a deep conversation. Don't get me wrong, but it's not meant to beat, you know, anybody over the head, you know, with a, you know, particular viewpoint. It just like sort of lays it all out. And we get to ask the questions ourselves, which I think ultimately is the best route, you know, having difficult conversations and asking difficult questions to, you know, very complex issues that we face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Peter, tell us about the character, the role that you specifically play in Kingdom, and what one message you as the actor do you want to get across to the viewing audience?
Well, Raka, as I said, you know, this is many generations later, and you know, truth tends to out-synthomorph, right? Like into fables and stories, and so the actual occurrence of events, you know, tends to get shaped by, you know, how we need to remember things, and so Raka is one of the last living that he knows of anyway, and that we know of in this film that we meet, of last living, you know, apes that followed the order of Caesar, which, you know, Caesar's main principles were that apes shall not kill apes, and apes together are strong, and apes and humans live side by side. And, you know, given that this is 300 years down the road, he's a bit of an archaeologist trying to put together the past so that he can sort of make sense of the future, and he understands like the splintering of apes in terms of their belief systems, but still trying to maintain a measure of peace and the principles that, you know, our founding elder Caesar set forth in terms of what it means to be an ape and the identity of what it means to be an ape. And so, you know, he you know, lives by that creed, and unfortunately, there are less and less apes that actually even have even heard of Caesar. So it's his life's mission to maintain, you know, that those principles in a complexifying world, if I can use that word, complexifying. Should look that up, see if that's a word. Anyway,
that's a good one.
So yeah, he's a bit of a nutty professor. You know, orangutans are very solitary creatures. So, you know, Raka spends a lot of time by himself conducting experiments and trying to you know, reach human beings and learn about them and learn about the history so that, you know, apes can move forward without repeating the same mistakes as human beings did. So it's strange to have that level of consciousness about moving forward, but yet not the specifics about, you know, what it was like, even, you know, in what it was really, really like in the time of Caesar. So, you know, I think that's a bit like life, right? That's the irony. You hold on to principles and you believe things, based on what how you need to believe them. So okay. He's not perfect, but I think that, you know, he's very much an identifiable, you know, character. I think people identify with Rucka in the sense of we're just all trying to figure it out.
Well, Greg has a question for you that's going to wake you up in the morning because it's the question of your life. Go ahead, Greg.
Awesome. Well, Bordas, Peter. and you can answer as Bordas or Peter. I don't care, but it's a great question. It's going to help me in my life. I have a few hundred years left, I hope. Well, anyway, at least 10, 20, who knows? Anyway, Peter, tell me, what do you feel is the most important thing in life you've ever learned?
That I don't know anything. I mean, that you only know what you've lived, and there's so much, you know, to learn, and then to be okay with that. So, I mean, metaphorically speaking, you know, you walk into a record store, there's no way that you can listen to all of the music, or you walk into a library, there's no way that you can read all the books, although that is the desire. And to make peace with that, you know, that journey, like a master, you know, will under like anybody who says that they're a master of anything understands that I'm a master of nothing, and it is all about furthering the study. My mission as an artist is to continue to raise the bar and to use my work. I just want to be useful. You know what I mean? I want to be useful in the zeitgeist of human consciousness. And in order to do that, there's a level of humility that comes along with that. But we need to be, you know, diligent about and stubborn about our dreams, but flexible about how we attain them. So that's, you know, what I've learned and what I'm continuing to learn along the way. And it's never proven me wrong, you know, being nice to people and getting unexpected results and just getting rid of my vanity. Is crucial because, you know, like as I said, we have this noodle, this brain, this ego, this id that, you know, that gets us into trouble a lot. And, you know, like to realize that we all bleed the same. And when the aliens come and or reveal themselves, it'll be, you know, remarkable to see how human we are, you know, and how we unify around being human beings. But I mean, I jokingly speaking,
I got it. Yeah,
I'm saying that, but you know, it is, you know, how do we move forward? We got to be able to move forward because we have children and, you know, like those younger generations that are coming by.
Exactly.
My grandmother, I'll leave you with this. Yeah.
Well, you know, hopefully.
Okay. All right. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. We got to get you to the next part of the tour. Kingdom Planet of the Apes, May 10th in theaters. Right. Appreciate it. Peter, thanks again. And that was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Guys, take care.